Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here, so let's do this. Who's ready for some May predictions? Hey, everybody, welcome to our monthly predictions podcast episode. I'm excited to be here with you. I have seven messages that will really give us a look into what May has for us, how we can get the best out of it, how we can be prepared, and really shift in to the next version of ourselves, which is what May is asking of us. Let's get into today's seven messages for May. Guys, May is for the brave. It really is this month where the universe is going to kind of take from us, or it already has removed things from us and caused these tweaks. And those of us who are ready to surrender, ready for that shift that only our lives can create, right? It's like a shift that we can't force ourselves into. It's a shift that comes from a place of surrender and comes from like, okay, like this is what's happening. I'm going to get the most out of this and I'm really just going to show up for this and let this shift through me. It is a month that if we are in fear or if there is any fear left in us, it will be a bit difficult. But one of our messages is about fear. So I'll be sharing a little bit of like how we can work through this. But it is truly a month of showing up and being and acting as if that new level. So I'm excited about this month. It's also kind of a funny month because it's a month where there's so much internal shifting happening and almost like an internal pride that is happening, but it doesn't look like much from the outside. It reminds me of like my husband, Benny, started eating healthier about 4 weeks ago. And every day he's like, what do you think? What do you think? Do I look better? Do I look better? Have I lost weight? I need a scale, all these things. I'm like, Benny, it doesn't work that way. It takes a little bit of time because he, you know, every day is waking up and like making better choices and it feels very hard and it feels like such an up level for him, but it's hard to not see any fruit of his labor. So that's really kind of a metaphor for what we will see in May, that we're like really showing up, but at the same time being like, has anybody noticed? Does anybody see that I'm changing? I'm shifting? So yeah, it's an interesting month. So starting with our first message or prediction, however you want to see it. Number one is there's going to be decisions made and things left behind. I see you guys choosing a path, choosing a road, being like, okay, I've spent the last few months assessing the paths, being like, okay, on this path, this is what life would look like. On this path, this is what life will look like. And although you might not know exactly how everything's going to look, there's these decisions that really changed the trajectory. There's these awarenesses, these knowings that you're like, okay, I can never go back. Kind of makes me feel like this shingles thing that I just went through, right? It shifted me so much that there was just certain things that were happening that I was like, okay, I guess I could just never go back. And in a weird way, that brings me to another path. So we will see decisions, maybe something that you've been for a while trying to decide if you're going to go forward or not go forward. You're going to pick a path and commit to that path. And there is no space to doubt the path. I think you're going to pick a path that is new, that is a path of the future. I don't really see it being like a path of the past, if that makes sense. Maybe something you've been trying to work or something you've been trying to think about. It's almost like you finally make that upgraded decision. And a lot shifts because of that decision. Because in order to be this person that makes this decision, there is a bunch of things that come along with that, right? So it's like, well, if I'm a brave person, let's say you're making the choice to be a brave person, then there's just like a lot of things that can't come with you, right? So it's like, well, fear about this can't come with me, or my enmeshment with this person can't come with me. My eating this way can't come with me. So there's a lot of letting go as well. And not because I am thinking about letting it go, but it's almost like that baggage cannot come on this road that I'm going on. And since you're choosing the road, there's a lot of baggage that just can't go with you. If I'm choosing between going to Hawaii and Alaska on trips, that is going to change what I pack, right? So if I choose Alaska and I have a super cute bikini, I mean, unless I'm like an Alaskan cruise maybe and you're wearing a cute bikini, but there might be like this outfit that is obviously a Hawaii outfit and it's not coming with me to Alaska. So I have to let it go. And not because I'm forcing myself to let it go, but it's just an obvious fading out of that bikini because I'm picturing more of this Alaska trip. So I'm not even thinking about that kind of Hawaii clothing anymore. So it's kind of happening pretty naturally, but there is a lot of letting go. There is a lot of grieving of, okay, I'm not going to Hawaii. I'm going to Alaska. So there's these like firm decisions that are made that actually shift the trajectory of your life. And there is a letting go of a path that could have been and a path that could have worked. But I definitely would say that that path would not have given you the most bang for your buck. When it comes to soul level, up level stuff, it wants this other path. It wants that Alaska trip rather than the Hawaii trip. Of course, the Alaska trip is not perfect, right? Like that path is not necessarily perfect, but it gives you more expansion. And down the line, it just sets you up for more happiness is what I'm seeing. So make those decisions bravely. Pay attention to what can't go with you when you make that choice. And that is where this discipline comes in and this self-reflection that there's just certain things that can't go with you on that path. So you can't just commit to it, but also having that kind of like internal coach going on, we're being like, well, on this path, we can't eat this, or on this path, we can't hang out with this friend. And we're really excited about this path. We are committed to it. We're dedicated to it. So anything that doesn't go along with that path, we're okay with letting go. And that's the way you're going to have to kind of talk yourself through this process. Prediction number two, I think what makes May a little difficult is that May is going to ask you to be the next level of you. Not to think anymore, because it seems like there's been a lot of reflection and thinking about and deciding, or even just the shadowy parts of that, right? Being angry at things or being frustrated with things, but not necessarily making the change. So sometimes I watch myself complaining about something, but the complaining is just giving me a little bit of time between being the person I am and being the person I am being asked to become. So I could just stay in complaining a little bit, or frustration, or whatever, whatever. And I don't have to be the next level. And May is truly asking us to be. And I think if we don't be, then it could get a little hard, a little frustrating, a little dark. And again, what's hard about being the next level is that it's kind of like going to the gym and you can no longer do the 10 pound weights. You have to do the 15 pound weights. And it's hard to do 15. It requires more of your attention, of your focus. You're more sore. You might be kind of grumpy because you are sore. And it just might be hard to show up as that version of yourself. So there's a lot of accountability, but again, it's so internal. Nobody even knows you're doing it. It has to do with you staying in your own integrity and you doing what you said you were going to do. It's such an internal coaching that's happening right now, but at the same time, a little hard because almost nobody can see the efforts you're making. So that's hard sometimes because it feels a little lonely. But also, it is hard for you to maybe not eat dairy anymore when you said, I'm not going to eat dairy. Dairy cannot come with me on this path. And it is hard. It's so crazy, but it is hard to say no to dairy every day, or no to caffeine every day, or no to that guy that you've had an open-ended relationship with for months and years, right? I don't want to play down how hard some of those things may be. And that's what you need to know. I know. I see you. And all of us who are listening, like, we see each other. But from the outside, it might not look like much, but it almost looks like every step you're taking, you have to take it very slowly and not relapse into the old version of you, and that you really need to show up as this new version. So truly being like, what would this new version of me be? Actually, there's a message down the way. It's message number 5, and I'll give more detail. But one thing that maybe has already shown up for you or that will be helpful in May is to choose an archetype. So to be like, okay, I'm going to be the badass, the rock star, the queen, I'm going to be the artist, I'm going to be the feminine, whatever this kind of next level is, it would be helpful to give it a name, because that name will help you stay on path. So I don't know, I would imagine that maybe when my husband was becoming sober, he probably decided, I'm going to be that great father figure, let's say. Maybe that was the archetype and that was the North Star. So every day that he woke up, and even though it was hard, he would have to be like, well, does the great father do this or does he do this? And when you're like, well, I've decided that I'm going to be the great father, it almost makes every choice a little bit easier, or not even easier, but clearer. It's clear what the good father would choose. So without being specific about what this up level is, your choices can get a little bit unclear, a little bit muddy. So this is really about being, right? So being the good father, and I'll be faced with some sort of choice. Maybe it's between going here with my friends or going to my kids' basketball game. And because I've decided to be the good father, and to me, maybe good father, what it means is to go to the basketball game, then it's very clear and it's very easy to make that choice. Like, oh, I'm supposed to go to the basketball game. So there's something about naming this up level and being that up level that makes the choices very clear. But of course, although choices can be clear, that does not mean that they're easy. And that is the compassion that I'm sending you, and I see you, but it's very much worth it, because truly this is one of the greatest up levels you've seen in your life in a long time. So name it and then be it. Message number three, money is going to be on the mind, but it's going to work best for those of us who have released the fear around money. So this is not necessarily like money's on my mind because I'm scared about it. This is more like money is on my mind because I'm going to roll the dice and I'm going to make something happen. So I actually see you either having a really good month money-wise, or really making like a bold choice. I have goosebumps. This bold decision to do it differently. But only if you've worked through the fear. If you haven't worked through this fear, I actually feel like if you are in fear of money, you won't even try to do something different. So you might not even see it. But this is about realizing that money is not so much about having money or having the thing. It's not about lack or abundance. It's actually about your own power. Money's coming forward for you to be a reflection of your own power. And if money hasn't come to you and you're like, dude, this is crazy, why isn't money coming to me in the way that I want? It's because you're gonna start to notice that your power is being diluted for some reason. And that may mean I've been trying to make money this way because this is how the industry makes it. But actually, when I do money this way, it doesn't really show my true power. My true power is here. It's going to be like a reflection of your power. It may also be something like, I believe I am powerful. I know I can make money. And that is why money starts to come my way. So it is a reflection of the up level in your own power, which is super beautiful. So that's why I'm saying it's not going to come from a fearful place. You might have been in a fearful place a few months ago, a year ago, over the last year, over the last few months, but there's something that's shifting in you that's going to see that money is a reflection of your power, and not in a sad way, like, oh, I have no power or whatever. It's really going to be like, where do I find that? What does it mean to be powerful? What does it mean to be in my power? Where is my power? Where am I letting it go? And that could be like, oh, I've been leaving my power with men. I've been saying that, well, the only way for money to come into my life is if my husband brings it to me, if so-and-so brings it to me. And then you finally like, actually, I don't think that's true. I actually think I could bring money through me. I do think that there's a way for more money to come through me. And when you notice that, that actually money can funnel through you, not by you working more or working harder or killing yourself, but that it could funnel through you. It's like you get your power, like you realize like, oh, it's not about throwing my power and leaving it over there to another person. And then the truth can be the opposite for somebody else. It could be like, you know, I've been trying to earn and work so hard, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm seeing that my power is actually in the energy that I bring people, and I offer a lot to my partner, and I create this really beautiful space for us. And I feel like money can move through that partner as well. So, you know, it's not black and white, but it's like wherever your power is, and you start to reflect on it and be like, oh, interesting. When I have this, I feel more powerful. And then money is a reflection of that. So you're not really going after money or thinking about money. You might think you are thinking about it because I need it. It's actually because it's time to reclaim your power and to see yourself in your own power, which is so exciting. So I think for some of us, it's going to be some creative solutions. So almost being like, yeah, like I said in the beginning, this is the way I've been making money. This is the way I was taught to make money, but I'm really not even making as much as I want to, or I'm working really hard for it. So what if I do it in a way that's really true to me, true to my gifts, true to my talents, and then we'll see more money come from that. And then also, where do I feel powerless right now? And what if I get that power back? I might be handing my power off to sugar or to alcohol accidentally and be like, oh no, I need the drink or I need the sugar to be able to keep myself sane. And then finally being like, there's no way that something else has all that power over me. I'm going to reclaim that and be like, no, like I can soothe myself in other ways. I have control of how I soothe myself. I have control of how I take care of myself. So then my power is no longer, let's say, in that sugar, or it's no longer in that alcohol. And that in itself brings more money to you, because money in this case, and money in May, and money going forward, honestly, for the next few months, is really all about reflecting back your power. So if you're worried about money, I would release this idea of being abundant, or release this idea of being lacking, right? Because a lot of times we think about money because we're lacking. I'd put that to the side for a little bit and really look around to see where your power has been left, and seeing how you can reclaim that power. And then weirdly enough, that is actually what reflects and what brings money. So money is being held up by a drain in your power. Message four, again, May brings forward fear. It brings forward some of our deepest fears. Some of us are going to totally overlook it and not see it and just have a bit of an anxious month. And hopefully those are just people that are not listening to this episode. And then some of us are going to look fear in the face because it is bubbling up so much that there's just like kind of no way to move forward unless I look at my deepest and greatest fears. So this is about getting to the bottom of what is stopping you. There's something that is holding you back or stopping you from making this leap. Or again, let's say we've given a name to that up level, like I said, the good father. And I'm trying to be the good father, but there's something in between me showing up to that basketball game, right? And if I look at myself and I look deeply, get my journal out and write out, what am I afraid of? What is holding me back from going to this basketball game? I want to go to this basketball game and I can't get myself to do it. What is happening? And really writing about that, journaling about that, you're going to find your deepest fear there. I remember when I was wanting to leave working for my husband and growing my own business, and I was just really struggling making that shift and making that leap. And I was struggling to make my own money in my own business. And I remember sitting with him being like, you know, exactly asking myself those questions. What am I so afraid of? What is happening? Why can't I leap? And I had worked through a lot of fears. But at that point, there was this fear, of course, that if I left my husband's business, that he was not going to be able to make as much money without me, and that we wouldn't have enough money to pay mortgage and private schools and cars and all the expenses. And I was just afraid of becoming homeless, basically. Literally, that's where my mind was going, which obviously there's a lot more steps before one becomes homeless. Perhaps my parents would take me in. I'm sure there would be other stuff, but in my mind, in my anxious mind, it was a sudden, like, you have no money, you're homeless. And with my kids, right? That was the biggest fear. And what was funny is that I did this thing. So when I was in my 20s, I used to volunteer at a few, I don't know if they call them homeless shelters, but basically they're apartment buildings in Miami that if you are unhoused, you can qualify to live there for free. And whole families would live there. And there was these two buildings that I would go between because I was part of this organization and we would volunteer there. And I remember being like, you know what? Okay, if that is like my worst case scenario, cool. I'll live in one of those buildings and my family will live with me and we'll figure out a whole new system. There's a whole new world of people taking care of you, and maybe that is okay. And I had to bring myself to my greatest fear and look at it in the face and be like, and I'm not afraid of you. And now I'm going to make this leap and I'm going to grow this business and I'm going to do these things. So I had to have a moment where I faced that. And I know that that sounds so silly, because obviously when I look at it like intellectually now, I do know that there would probably be other steps, but I kind of just felt that I needed to let fear know that it didn't have a hold on me anymore. So I had to see the worst case scenarios. So I let my mind go to the worst case scenarios. And even when I went to the worst case scenarios, I saw that they were not that bad, or that they weren't death, that they weren't the end of me. But I think sometimes when you don't look at fear, when you're in a scary room and you don't turn the lights onto fear, you don't realize that it's just a little mouse making a huge shadow. And the little mouse, it's just not as scary as the shadow is, but that's why we have to bring light to it. So we're going to be faced with some of our fears, and we need to have a journal this month because it's really going to be about like, why? What am I afraid of? Get to the depths of that. Journaling is always a great way. You'd be surprised how much you have within you. You can also use ChatGPT to help you with this. I know this sounds funny, but you can get a deck of cards. Tarot cards would be best because it's a system. So ChatGPT knows tarot. So you can start to ask yourself questions like, I wouldn't use it to predict things, but I would use it more like, what am I afraid of? Like, what is blocking me? Like, pull these cards, let ChatGPT know what you're asking about, let ChatGPT know what card you pulled, and let it show you, reflect back to you what is within you. So we're using ChatGPT not because it's necessarily going to give you all the answers, but it's reflecting something that's kind of messy and stuck within you that is trying to come out. So you need to get to the bottom of that fear and shine some light on it so that it does not have a hold on you anymore. And May's just going to bring that up. And those of us who have maybe already done that, maybe we've been doing that for the past few months, it's going to be very exciting because there is this fear that somehow is hidden that we don't really see that is telling us that we can't have what we want. And that has taken so much energy from us. And when you realize like, oh, the fear is the mouse, right? It's not that big of a deal. I can do this. You get all this energy back. And that energy is actually what is needed to create and project that new reality that you've been dreaming about. But this reality requires 100% of your energy. And you only have 20% of that energy because 80% of it has been caught up in this fear that I don't want to look at. So when you actually are like, you know what? F it. Like, I'm going to shine a light on it. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I'm going to journal it. I'm going to have a breakthrough. You get that energy back and then it creates your reality. So it's really, really exciting. Like, it's an opportunity to gather that, to bring that power back to you. So don't be afraid of looking at fear. I also feel like some of this fear is in your stomach. So if you are having stomach problems, if you are feeling stomach aches, use it as an invitation, look at it. You might have to really let go of some of the things that you're eating for now, just for some time so that you can see it more clearly. But there's something kind of bunched up and like hidden that needs to be ironed out. And when it's ironed out, it just really projects you forward. So it's kind of a pulling back to pull to go forward. But a huge breakthrough is available this month through our own fear. Number five, this is a prediction that has like nothing to, it almost seems like it doesn't fit in these messages, but I feel like I need to share with you guys because you will make sense of it in your own way. There is a momentum behind these anti-groupthink, against group culture voices that are really trying to come through. There's this momentum coming behind people's uniqueness. And I share this with you because we don't realize it, but we are in some sort of gold rush. And what I mean by gold rush is I remember when blogging was coming on, when Instagram was coming on, like I was in the middle of that. I mean, I had a blog in 2008 and, you know, I was kind of like an early adopter to a lot of these things. And I had no idea. I was too young to know that I was like in a gold rush, right? Think about when marijuana started to get legalized. There were people that got on that really early and are probably doing well because they were in the middle of a gold rush. Think about the tech industry, right? Somebody who started a silly app way back in the day and did very well because there was a gold rush. And of course, all of those things are much harder these days because the landscape is more saturated than when it first started. We are in some sort of gold rush, but it is not an industry. And I think that that's why it's hard to spot it. But I can sense that gold rush, and I can't vocalize it yet. I don't have the words for it yet, but the momentum is coming from people's uniqueness. The gold rush is actually not following trends anymore, not following what other people are doing. I have goosebumps. It's space for these unique talents and these unique people that are really capitalizing on their unique self. So this is the moment for the oddball. Like when you watch a movie and it's like, okay, there's the cheerleader and there's like the hot guy and there's these obvious archetypes that always do well, right? They're the mainstream. And then there's like the artsy girl off to the side and there is like these kind of quirky people off to the side. The quirky person is going to rise. And I think what makes a quirky person quirky is a person that values their own uniqueness. And that's not really looking to other people to get their inspiration or not really looking to other people to give them the okay to move forward. So there's a momentum behind that. And I feel like this means something in your life. Maybe it's your business, in your life. I almost feel like there's an opportunity for you to get ahead of something. That's why I'm sharing this. So whether that's like, you spotted a quirky neighborhood before anybody else has. And it's like the person that spotted Brooklyn before it was Brooklyn, right? Before it's what it is now. It could be, again, your own unique voice and the way you're showing up, and you create a brand behind that. Lean into that. There's just like a moment for that right now. And we're at the very beginning stages of it. I wish I had like more words for it, but I want you to lean into it, just to be aware of it, to understand that it's like the anti-trend. And this is also a place where the archetype was coming up. So you could name the archetype, and that might be helpful, because it almost looks like you might not be aware of this yet because you are you and it's hard to see yourself outside of yourself. But you might like name it a little bit and be like, oh, this is the rebel artist who likes pink or something like that. It might be helpful to name what you feel is coming through in a big way, like through your expression, so that you can stay in line with that expression and you don't accidentally fall out and follow mainstream trends or follow what other people are doing, what other friends are doing. Name it something, because that might be helpful for you to stay in your lane, because it feels like it requires a ton of this focus to remain true to who you are and then to express it, because it's so easy to look outside of you and to look at what other people are doing. And people that are really following the beat of their own drum are going to be rewarded. You know, what's funny is that don't follow the beat of your own drum to be rewarded, right? Follow the beat of your own drum because it is rewarding, period, when you are being true to who you are and really polishing out those unique diamonds that are within you. But it just looks like, I don't know why. I wish I had the real prediction, but it just looks like it's going to be rewarded. That path and that awareness is going to be rewarded, and it's really showing up right now in this month. Message 6 in May, because May is all about just letting go of how we thought things were going to happen or how things were going to get done. We're still going to create these like dream lives that we were dreaming of, but we're going to create them very differently. And it's not that it started in May. It started earlier. It's really started like in 2025, but we're seeing it more and more now. And this means that there is just creative ways to bring this reality into our lives. And one of the ways is realizing the potential and the impact of our co-manifestors. So what I mean by a co-manifestor is a person who is in your life that is really co-creating with you, whether you realize it or not. So these people, for example, are our partners, right? Benny and I are co-manifestors. If he's not good, our vision's just not going to happen. And it's not because I'm necessarily relying on him to make things happen, but his vibe has to be just as high as mine, or my vibe has to be just as high as his, in order to create what it is that we both want to create. You may have a partner at work, right? You might have somebody that works with you, a close collaborator or an actual business partner, that if they are not at your level or you are not at their level, then the vision cannot happen. So this message is about pouring into your co-manifestors. And these are people that their energy affects what you're creating. And when we think we are the sole creators of our lives, and when we don't realize that we're all connected, we're just like putting all this effort into ourselves. I'm going to push myself. I'm going to do this. This is my super long to-do list, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, when you move more into this creator approach, this more feminine approach, you realize that there is energy around you that is affecting what you're creating. And one of them are the co-manifestors in your life. So this is a message about pouring into your co-manifestor. So this might be like, you know what, I'm going to invite my husband on a weekend trip, just the two of us. Give him a break, or talk to him, or see how he's doing. I realize he's really tired. I'm going to do this and this for him so that he can clear out his energy so that we can create better together. I'm going to go talk to this super important employee in my job and maybe buy her a coaching package to help her work through blah, blah, blah. Or maybe I'm going to send her on that trip for the weekend or something. So there's something about pouring in to these people around you that are affecting your creations. I think a side message here is about pouring into the energy that affects what you're creating. So, for example, maybe I am trying to create something really cool, but my space where I create it like really sucks. You know, like maybe I'm trying to make this super sexy relationship with my husband, but my bedroom is horrible. You know what I mean? Or maybe I'm trying to create peace in my life, but my house is super busy and cluttered. So pouring into these things that affect our creation that actually you are creating, let's say, within your house. And if the house itself is a nest, that itself is not a great vessel, right? It's kind of like saying, I'm trying to come into life through a mother who is smoking and doing drugs. And it's like, well, damn, as much as I might have strong creation power as a baby within this womb, I can't help but notice that I'm in a not so great womb, you know? And I need to see if I can clear out that womb so that I can manifest better life. So this feels like paying attention to where I'm actually creating, within what, and who's affecting it, whose energy is around it, and how can I lovingly and compassionately give attention to some of those people that are co-manifesting with me or some of these spaces that are affecting my manifestation. And lastly, pay attention to where you feel lucky. There's some sort of diamond in the rough in your life, and it's like a lottery ticket and you're missing it. And this needs to be polished is what I'm seeing. It could be like, wow, my partner has this, or I live in this town and there's so much potential here, or I have this talent and it's just not super great yet, but I feel like there's something here. There's a call to polishing something that other people don't see. And again, because we're like moving into this place that getting validation from other people, getting approval from other people, it's just not going to work where we're going. So one of the messages under that is to spot something that nobody has yet noticed, but you are noticing. And what might be hard about this one is that it might be within you, right? It might be this gift, this talent that only you see. So it's kind of like being an amazing talent manager that is spotting something, and you might feel lucky already. You might be like, oh, I feel so lucky about this. Go deeper into that. We live on all this acreage that I love, and I feel lucky to have the acreage. But if I maybe sit with the land and go beyond feeling lucky, it might have more to say to me. It might be like, you're not just lucky, you are in destiny right now. And there is more to just feeling lucky. Like lucky, sometimes it's beautiful, it's gratitude, and you kind of just like sit there in it. But explore where you feel lucky, and you might find your destiny. Does that make sense? So if you feel like, yeah, I'm just pretty, I feel lucky that I'm pretty, right? There is destiny behind that. Or like, yeah, I'm lucky because I can pull things together. There's destiny behind that. So it's about spotting these things where you feel lucky, or spotting these things that on your best day, you realize that they are kind of special about you or about your life. And they need to be just polished and presented, and it's a lottery ticket. So it's like kind of being like, I'm a lottery ticket that you're not scratching off, and you don't have to scratch it off. And lottery tickets are obviously, there's luck involved in lottery tickets, but you're sitting on some luck is kind of what I'm feeling. You might not look like much because it needs to be polished, but it's there. Scratch it off, and it's going to lead you somewhere where you want to go. But it's just like, since you're so obsessed with like the how, like you have this idea of how it's supposed to happen, you're missing some luck that is around you. You're missing some sort of like lottery ticket. So I don't think you can force yourself in finding that, but I just want to kind of plant that seed in you and keep your eyes open to see if there is something in your life that is a diamond in the rough and that could be polished and be something very special. You are special, my friend. I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for sitting and receiving this. And I love co-creating with all of you and doing this work together. I'm really excited to see what May has for you. It's going to be a fast month, but super potent. Take full advantage of it. I send you so much love, and I will see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.